B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Mem Beis. We're going to start the Mishnah, the beginning of a new Perek, Perek Eilu Oivrin. Says the Mishnah, Ve'eilu Oivrin b'Pesach. We're now going to see two lists of food items that one transgresses. Oivr, according to Rashi, is a term used for transgression. Transgresses the Avera of Bal Yiroeh, which are the psukim that tell us that chometz may not be seen or be found in our property on Pesach. The first list is ta'arovus chometz, which is a mixture of chometz. It's not chometz in and of its own, but it's a mixture that contains also chometz, ta'arovus chometz. And one is not, even though the chometz is in a mixture, it's not allowed to be owned or found in our rishus on Pesach. What are they? They are kutach habavli. Kutach is a milky chometz stick dip that was used often by everybody in Bovel. V'sheichor ha-modai, and beer that was used and made in Modai. V'choymetz ha-edoimi, vinegar from Edoim. V'zeisoim ha-mitzri, and zeisoim from Egypt. That's the list of things which were called tarovus chometz. And then there's another list, which is chometz noiksha, which even though they contain ingredients that are chometz, and therefore oivrin, one transgresses Bal Yiroeh and Bal Yimotzeh for owning them on Pesach. However, it's not a regular chometz, it's a chometz which is nuksha. It's chometz which is not really edible. I wouldn't say it's completely not edible, that it's not a food item. If it's not a food item, there's no Bal Yiroeh, Bal Yimotzeh. It's obviously considered a food item, but not edible enough to be in the regular bracket of chometz. And they are Zoimon Shel Tzavoim. The dyers, those that would dye, would have this. One of the things they would use would be called Zoimon, and it contained chometz. The amilon shel tabochim, this was an amilon used by the cooks. The koilon shel soifrin, a koilon used by scribes. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af tachshit enoshim, also cosmetics of the women. And the Gemara is going to ask, since when are cosmetics chometz? And the Gemara is going to say that it doesn't really mean cosmetics, it means a paste that was used for beautifying themselves. We'll see that in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah Zeh, Klal, the rule is Kol Shehu Mimin Dogon. Anything that's made of the five types of grains that we've seen previously, Chitin, Sa'irin, Kusmin, Shiboiles, Shual, or Shifoin, Hareza Oivr B'Pesach, owning them on Pesach, one transgresses Bal Yiroeh and Bal Yimotzeh. Hare Eilu B'Hazhorah, there is a warning against even eating them, Ve'en Ben Mishum Koros, and if one did eat them, then the categories mentioned in this Mishnah would not be punishable by Koros, since it's not your typical chometz. It's either ta'arovus chometz or chometz noiksha. However, it's also min ha-Torah to eat them. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Shloisha dvorim ne'morim b'kutach habavli. The Mishnah mentioned this dip called kutach that was common in Bovel. And the Gemara is bringing a braisa that tells us some things about this kutach habavli. Number one, metamtem es halev, it clogs up the heart. Metamtem is similar to the word contaminated. It contaminates and blocks the heart. Umesame es oinaim, it blinds the eyes. It destroys a person's eyesight. Umakrish es haguf, and it weakens a person's body. Metamtem es halev, which part of the kutach causes a person's heart to get clogged up? Mishum nisyuvi. There's the watery part of the milk that gets left over after the cheese has been made. That watery part of the milk is called the nisyuva de chalba, and that's what causes the heart to become metamtim, to become clogged. Umesame seinaim. What part of this kutach can hurt a person's eyesight? Mishum milcha. We know that there are certain salts, typically known as melach sedoimis, that sometimes can cause blindness, and they would put this salt into the kutach, and therefore the kutach, there was a risk of causing blindness to a person. Umakesh zaguf, which part of the kutach causes a person's body to become weakened? Mishum kumnisa de uma, the breadcrumbs or the bits of bread that would be put into the kutach at some point would become moldy, and the mold of the bread, which is the kumnisa du'uma, that would cause a person's body to become weakened. Continues the Gemara in a similar theme, Tanu Rabbanan, Gimel Dvorim Marbim Hazevel. There are three things that increase the solid waste of a person. V'koyfinis ha'koymor, they bend his posture. V'noitlin echod mechomish meis m'moyer einov shel adam, and they can cause a person, they can remove from a person a 1/500th of his eyesight. Eluhein, what are these three things that cause the above? Pas kibar, core spread. V'sheichor chodosh, and fresh beer. V'yerek chai, and fresh vegetables. And Rashi says this is talking about somebody who eats a very lot in quantity and frequently of leek, onions or radish. It can cause these things if they are eaten fresh. Tanu Rabbanon, Shlosha Dvarim Ematim Es HaZevel. There are three things which decrease the amount of solid waste from a person. V'zoikfenes HaKoyma, and they strengthen the posture of a person. U'mirines ha'inayim, and they cause a person's eyesight to become improved. Eluhein pasnukia, eating bread which is refined. Bosa shomin, fatty meats. V'yayin yoshon, and old wine. Says the Gemara, pasnukia, this refined bread. Desmido, that means bread made of fine flour. Bosa shomin, what does it mean, fatty meats? De tzapirta, from a young she-goat, de leiftach, that has never given birth. Yayin yoshon, what's called old wine, atik atiki, from at least 3 years old. That's how Rashi explains this. The Gemara continues, kol mili de male lehai, kosher lehai. Anything or any food item that is used to cure one ailment, they have side effects, negative side effects for another part of the body. And if you eat something which is bad for one part of the body, it will be good for another part of the body. Bar mizangvila rativa, besides for fresh zangvila, upilpala richta, and long peppers, upas nakia, and refined bread, ubos or shomein, and fatty meat, v'yayin yoshon, and old wine, d'mayle l'kule gufa, that they are good for the whole body. No side effects. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah that one of the things that are chometzdik and are not allowed to be owned on Pesach is sheichor hamodai, which is a type of beer that was only made in Modai. In other places, they would make beer from tmorim, from dates. It was only in Modai that they would make beer this way. Deromu bei meisari, they would make beer by putting into this water the water of barley, water that barley had been soaked in, and that was chometzdik water, meisari, from the barley. And since they used that to make the beers in a place called Modai, therefore sheichor hamodai is chometz. Continues the Gemara, v'chometz ha'edoimi, vinegar made in Edoim, which is interesting. We know that Edoim was the nation that was responsible for the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So there was something in this place, Edoim, and we'll soon see in the Gemara, it was consequent to the fact that they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, that there was chometz, there was vinegar in Edoim, and that vinegar was chometz. Why was it chometz? The shodu beisara, because they would throw barley grains into the wine. Until then, the wine would not ferment, and only once they would throw the barley grains into the wine, it would cause it to ferment, and that would be the sheichor. That would be the chometz. Sorry, that would be the vinegar of Edoim. Omer of Nachum Bayitzchok. B'tchila, at the beginning, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, k'shehoyu mevi'im nesachim meYehuda, they would bring the nesachim, which was wine that was poured onto the Mizbeach with the korbanis, and they would make that wine from grapes that was grown in the part of Eretz Yisrael called Yehuda. That means not the northern part of Eretz Yisrael called Golil, it was made from a place called Yehuda. And in the merit that they would make the wine for the nesachim from those grapes, all the wine that was made from Yehuda, lo hayo yeinom shel Yehuda machmitz, the wine wouldn't go off, it wouldn't ferment, it would not become vinegar. Ad shenoisnim l'toichon soirin, unless they would put barley into the wine, you put barley in, the barley will make it ferment, and then you'll have vinegar. V'hayu koirin oisai chometz stam, and that vinegar that was the wine of Yehuda, that they would put barley into, that was called chometz, the regular chometz at the time. The Achshav, But now on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that the quality, there was no more Nesachim, and the quality of the grapes and the wine of Eretz Yisrael went down because they didn't have the merit anymore that the wine was being poured on the Mizbeach. Ein Yeinom Shel Adoimim, this virtue of the wine, staying wine and never fermenting unless you do something to make it become vinegar, that virtue was now transformed to Edom, who the ones who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They took the quality from Yerushalayim to themselves. Ein yeinom shel adoimim machmitz, the wine of Edom would not become vinegar at shenoisnim l'teichon so'irin, until they would put inside it the so'irin, the barley. That's the chometz ha'adoimi mentioned in our Mishnah, that in Edom they would make chometz by using the wine and putting barley inside it, and therefore it was chometz. And since it was chometz, you're not allowed to own it on Pesach. L'kaima shenema, this concept we just mentioned now, that there was a virtue in Yerushalayim, and when Yerushalayim lost it, Edom gained it, is from a pasuk. Now the pasuk says, Ben Odom Yan Asha Omro Tzoyr. Tzoyr was a place in Edom, and Tzoyr said al Yerushalayim, to or about Yerushalayim, Ha'och Nishbar Odal Tzoyr Sa'amim Noseva Eloi Imolo Hocharova. What these words Imolo Hocharova mean? Imolo, I have been filled Hecharova from the destruction of, from its destruction, from the destruction of Yerushalayim, which means that the Edom had become filled with a virtue consequent of the destruction of Yerushalayim. Imol ozu chariv ozu. When Yerushalayim is filled, Edom is destroyed. Ve'imole ozu chariv ozu. And if Edom is filled, then Yerushalayim is destroyed. Reb Nachman ben Yitzchok Omar Mehocha. Reb Nachman ben Yitzchok learns it from a different pasuk, that we know that there was Yaakov and Esav, and when Rivka went, before she gave birth to Yaakov and Esav, she went to ask who she's giving birth to, and she was told, Ulo'im mila'oim yemot, you're going to give birth to two nations, to Yaakov being Klal Yisrael, Esav being the Goyim, being Edom, and Ulo'im, this kingdom, mila'oim yemot, is going to be stronger than the other kingdom. Always one of the two is going to be stronger. When Yaakov is strong, Esav is weak. When Esav is strong, Yaakov is weak. So to hear, when Yerushalayim was strong, and the wines of Yerushalayim stayed, did not ferment, did not become vinegar, then in Edom they didn't have this virtue. When Yerushalayim lost it, Edom received it. Continues the Gemara Tanya. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Ushayna, in this place called Yehuda, at the beginning, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Halokeach Chometz Me'am Ha'oretz, Eine Tzorich La'asir, Mipnei Shechazoka, Eine Bo Elo Min HaTemid. And this seems to contradict a little bit what we saw before, that the Chometz Stam, the vinegar, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was that they would take the wine of Yehuda and put barley inside it. And over here it seems that at that time, then the vinegar was not made from the wine at all. It was made from temid, which is grape residue. If they would take the residue of the grapes and they would put it inside water, and then it would ferment and it would become vinegar. But since there's no wine in there, it's just the grape residues, there's no actual wine. If there's no wine, then there's no need to take Trumas and Maestros. And therefore, when they would buy vinegar from an Amoretz, and we know that when you buy any item that needs Trumas and Maestros to be taken, for example, fruits, vegetables, including wine, and you don't know if the Amoretz took Trumas and Maestros, it's called Demai. You're not allowed to consume it until you take the relevant Trumas and Maestros. Over here says Rabbi Yehuda, no. Since the vinegar was all made from temid, from these residues, it was not made from wine, and therefore there was no requirement to take Trumas and Maestros. And it's the Rosh Hash and the Tzfas Emes who ask why this Gemara is not a contradiction to the Gemara we saw a few lines earlier. Continues Rabbi Yehuda, V'achshav, but now, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Halokeach Chometz Me'am Ha'aretz, when one buys vinegar from an Amoretz, Tzorech La'asir, you have to take Maisra, Shechazkosoi, Einei Bo, Elomin Ayayin. The quality of the wine would go down, and some of the wine would become vinegar, and that's the vinegar that would be bought from the Amoretz. And since it was made of wine, you need to take Trumas and Maisras. Asks the Gemara of Asava Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Temed, that vinegar made of temed, of the residues of the grapes, lav bar isurhu, do not need to be taken maestros from. V'atanya, we learnt in the Mishnah, hametamed, if somebody takes these residues of the wine, v'nosan mayim b'mido, and you pour an exact measure of water on top of these residues, u'motzo k'dei midosa, and then afterwards when the vinegar's been made, and you measure how much vinegar you have, you find exactly k'dei midosa, the same amount as the water you put in, that means that's clear that there was no wine inside the residue that came out, because otherwise there would be a larger quantity. And since the quantity of water is exactly the same, even though the color and taste may have been absorbed from the residue, but there's no wine that was absorbed from the residue. There was no wine in this residue that was in now in the water. And potter, you're potter. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says that if you make vinegar from temed, you have to take trumas and maestros, since the taste and the color of this vinegar is now from the wine. Then you're chayev. So how can Rabbi Yehuda say here that when you took that the vinegar of that was in the time of that was bought from the Amei Oretz, since it was made from the temed, one didn't have to take trumas and maestros. Here Rabbi Yehuda says you do have to take trumas and maestros. Answers the Gemara, Hochi Omar Lo Nechshudu Amei Oretz Ala Temed. It's not correct that Rabbi Yehuda ever said that one does not need to take trumas and maestros from the vinegar bought from Amei Oretz because temed doesn't need to be taken trumas and maestros from. No, Rabbi Yehuda always holds that you have to take trumas and maestros even from temed. However, since temed was so insignificant, there's no good reason that the Amei Oretz should avoid taking trumas and maestros. They would only avoid taking trumas and maestros from significant items of food. They would feel we don't want to, so to speak, lose that part of it by taking trumas and maestros. But temed is so insignificant, even the Amei Oretz would take trumas and maestros, and therefore you were allowed to use this vinegar. Iboisema, or a different explanation could be, nechshedu, that the truth is that one has to take trumas and maestros, and the Amei Oretz are suspected of not taking the trumas and maestros. However, there is a type of a temed there are two types of temed. There's one type of temed where one does have to take trumas and maestros from, and one type of temed that not. What's the deciding factor? Whether it's a type of residue that actually had wine absorbed into it. Because there's two ways of making this wine and consequently the vinegar. One is by pouring water onto the seeds of the grapes. And in the seeds of the grapes, there is no wine absorbed. There's just a bit of the taste and the color, but no wine. And therefore, temed that is made by pouring water on the seeds of the grapes, they do not have any requirement of trumas and maestros. However, temed that's made by pouring water onto the residue of the grapes that are left at the bottom of the barrel, there they have wine absorbed into them. So even though you've measured the amount of water before you made the wine and the amount of water after you made the wine and it's the same, nonetheless, we have to assume that part of the wine that was absorbed in this residue had come out into the water and was replaced by part of the water that became absorbed into it. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's a type of wine or vinegar that was made from a residue from the bottom of the barrel that actually had wine absorbed into it, there you have to take trumas and maestros. And if you buy it from an Amei Oretz, you have to take trumas and maestros because you don't know that they took their trumas and maestros. That's what the Gemara says. Lo ikasha, ha b'darvako, that the Braisa that says that Rabbi Yehuda says you have to take trumas and maestros is if the temed is made from the residue from the bottom of the barrel that had wine absorbed into it. Ha b'dapurtzani, and the place where Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to take trumas and maestros from this temed is when it's made with water being poured onto the seeds. The seeds of the grapes don't actually have any wine absorbed into them, and therefore there is no requirement of trumas and maestros. Continues the Gemara. V'zeisoim ha-mitzri. The next thing mentioned in the Mishnah was Egyptian zeisoim, which was chametz. Asks the Gemara, my zeisoim ha-mitzri. What is this zeisoim ha-mitzri, or what part of it makes it chametz? So we're going to have two explanations. Rabbi Yosef says, Tanur of Yosef, tilsa sairah, a third of it was barley. tilsa kurtumi. And a third of it was an ingredient called kurtumi. And tilsa milcha, and a third of it was salt. Rav Papa, mapik sara, umayil chiti. Rav Papa argues with Rabbi Yosef and says that it wasn't a third barley, it was actually a third of wheat. And the Gemara adds, with Simonoch, how are you going to remember what Rav Yosef said and what Rav Papa said? Sisni. Sisni was the name of a container that they would contain dates in. And the word sisni had two s in it, two samachs in it. So remember this, and you'll remember that it was Yosef who said sari, which was the barley. The two s's, the two samachs. How would they make this zeisim? Toruluhu. They would first soak the ingredients. V'koluluhu, then they would toast the ingredients. V'tochniluhu, then they would grind the ingredients. V'shosuluhu, and then they would drink it. Midivcho ad atzarto, between Pesach and Shavuos. And the healing effect it would have is dekomit, somebody who was contaminated, who was dekomit, someone that was constipated, marpilei, then his bowels would become softened, udarafi, and those who had very loose bowels, then mekamitle, it would bind his bowels, and he would be, it would help him. However, lachayla, for a sick person, an ill person, a liisha obra, a pregnant woman, sakanta, it's actually dangerous for her to have so much laxity, it would be dangerous for them to consume this zeisim hamitzri. Continues the Gemara. And now we're moving over from Tarivas Chometz to Chometz Noiksha. The Zoimom Shel Tzavoim. The Zoimom that was used by the Tzavoim, by the dyers, those that would dye. Says the Gemara, what was the story there? Hacha Tirguma, Maya de Chivra. They would put inside this the water of the bran. The bran was soaked in the water. The Tzavi Lehu Laba. They would paint the certain types of skins, the red skins would be painted with this zoimon, and this zoimon had in it the water where bran was soaked, therefore it was chometz and not allowed to be owned on Pesach. The amelon shel tabochim, that was the next thing we said in the Mishnah, that the amelon that was used by the cooks was also chometz. What was that? Pas tavua, it was bread that was made of grains. Shelo yivir shlish, they had not matured, they had not ripened yet a third. Shemanicho al pikadera, they would take these grains of that had not yet ripened a third. They would put it onto the mouth of a pot. Vosheves hazuama, and it would absorb the froth. And this amilon shel tabochim, which contained this type of bread, and that was chometz. Continues the Gemara, the koilon shel soifrim, the koilon that scribes would use. Hocha tirguma, what is this? So the Gemara is saying the first suggestion is peroira de ushpachi. It's actually the glue that was used by the shoemakers, and Rashi said that it had flour of shifoin inside them. Shifoin was one of the grains that could become chometz, and therefore it was chometz and was not allowed to be owned on Pesach. So it's the glue used by the shoemakers. Reb Simi mechuzno omar. Reb Simi says, from the place of chuzno, says it was not the shoemaker's glue, it was something else. Ze tipulon shel benois ashirin. There was a certain paste that the girls would use. We'll soon see what that is. But the girls sometimes would want to remove, or the women would want to remove some of their hair. And the way they would remove it, they would paste it with a type of a paste, and that paste, if the tipulon shel benois ashirin, this paste used by the girls from the rich homes, shemeshayros oisoi libnois aniim, then instead of throwing away the leftovers, they would leave it over for the poor girls who could not afford this tipulon, this paste. They would leave it over for them, and since it was given to the Bnois Aniim, and that's why the Mishnah calls it Koilon Shel Soifrim, because typically Soifrim doesn't always have to mean a scribe, it can mean the people who are teaching. The teachers would get a lower wage, they would be relatively less well off financially, and the children of the teachers, they would use this Tipulon Shel Bnois Ashirin, and it contained chometz. Asks the Gemara, how can you Rav Simi Michuzno say that the that what we're talking about here, the Kailon Shel Soifrin, is actually this tipul on this paste of the Benois Ashirim of the rich girls that they happen to leave over for the poor girls. But how can you say that's what it is? V'atana Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya taught, Arba Mine Medina. There are four countries mentioned in our Mishnah, which was, these were items, Kutach, Abavli, Sheikhor, Amodai, Chomet, Adoimi, Vezesim, Hamitzri, that were all associated to a specific country where all the people in that country would consume this. V'sholish mine umnois, and three types of crafts are mentioned there. We had the tzavoim, the dyers, the amilon shel tabochim, the cooks, and the kailon shel soifrim, the soifrim must be a craftsman. So if you say that it's talking about the glue of the shoemakers, that's a craft. But if you say it's talking about the paste used by the rich girls, what craft is that? My umnus ikka. And if you say that this kailon shel soifrim is the paste used by the girls of the rich homes, my mine umnus ikka, what crafts is there? Ve'elo, it must be my pirura d'ushpechi. It must be like the Gemara said, hocha tirguma, that kailon shel soifrim is not this paste, rather it's referring to the glue of the shoemakers. Amai korile hai kailon shel soifrim. Why are you calling it, the Gemara is saying, if it's the glue of the shoemakers, why are you calling it the koilon of the scribes, the koilon shel ratzonim? You should call it koilon of the shoemakers. Miboile. Answers the Gemara, Omre Boishia, la'olam pirura d'ushpechi. It's indeed the Mishnah is referring to the glue of the shoemakers. Umai korile koilon shel soifrim. Why is it called the koilon of the scribes, the soifrim nami medabkin behu? Nairo Seam. Ancient paper was made using this type of glue, and therefore, since the scribes would also use this glue for the paper that they were using, therefore it's called Kailon Shel Soifrim. But it's the same glue that the shoemakers would use. Continues the Gemara. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Af Tachshitei Noshim. Rebbe Eliezer added that the ornaments of the women were also, the cosmetics of the women were also chometz and not allowed to be owned on Pesach. Asks the Gemara, Tachshitei Noshim, cosmetics of women, Sol Kodaitach, would that enter your mind that they're chometz? We know that they're not chometz. The typical perfumes and paints that they would use are not chometz. Eloema, what you have to say that what Rabbi Eliezer actually said was not Tachshitei Noshim, the cosmetics of the women, rather Af Tipulei Noshim. It was these pastes that the women would use to remove their hair. And Tosfos already discusses that according to Rav Simi Michuzno, then that is exactly the same as Kailon Shel Soifrim, which were these pastes. So Tosfos discusses the difference between the Tipulei Noshim and the Kailon and the Kailon Shel Soifrim, according to Rav Simi. But Rabbi Eliezer means the pastes that the women would use to remove the hair. To Omer of Yehuda Marav, Benois Yisrael Sheigiu LePirkon, the girls that would reach a certain maturity and their hairs would start growing, V'lo Yigiu LeShonim, but they were not yet old enough that it was appropriate. They were too young to have reached this stage of maturity, and they were embarrassed of their pubic hairs, then Benois Aniyim Toiflois Oison Besid. Then the girls of the poor families in this situation, they would use a paste of lime, and that's how they would remove these hairs. Benois Ashirim, the girls of the richer families, Toiflois Oison Besoiles, they would use fine flour they would make a paste with fine flour to remove the hairs, and that's what we're talking about till now, that the Benois Ashirim would use this type of a paste made of fine flour to remove the hairs, and indeed it was chometz. Benois Melochim, the girls of royalty, they would use Shemen Hamoir, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, in the home of Achashverosh, Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Hamoir, they would beautify themselves and they would remove these hairs using an oil called Shemen Hamoir. Asks the Gemara, my Shemen Hamoir, Rav Huna bar Yirmiya Oimer, Stakas. Something called Stakas. Rav Yirmi bar Arba Omar, Shemen Zayis. It's actually olive oil, Shelo Yehevi Shlish, that the olives had not ripened a third of their maturity yet. Tanya Rav Yehuda Oimer, and Piknin, Shemen Zayis, Shelo Yehevi Shlish. This is a sugi in Menachos, which oils were allowed to use for Menachos, and oils that were not allowed to be used were anpiknin. Rabbi Yehuda said it was this shemen zayis, this olive oil, that the olives had not ripened a third. Why would they smear themselves with this olive oil? It removes the hair, and it causes the skin to glow. Continues the Gemara. The next statement in the Mishnah we saw, Zeh Klal, what's the rule? Kol Shehu Mimin Dogon, anything that contains any of the five types of grains, Hareza Oivr BePesach, you're not allowed to own it on Pesach. Tanya, we learnt in a Braisa, Omer Bishua, V'chim Achal Sheshaninu. Since the Mishnah gave us a rule, Kol Shehu Mimin Dogon Hareza Oivr BePesach, anything that's made of any of the species of grains are over. You transgress Bali Roy and Bali Motze on Pesach. Loma monu chachomim es elu. Why did the Mishnah have to single out the Kutach HaBavli, Sheikhar HaModi, Chaymet Zedoyim, Zeisim HaMitzri, Zeimim Shal Tzvoyim, Amidin Shal Tabochim, Koilun Shal Soifrim, and Tachshitei Noshim? Why did the Mishnah have to single them all out if you have the rule? Answers the Gemara, you're right. There's nothing extra in the details than the rule. But the reason that we mention the details is Kadei Shehei Rogel Behen, in order that people should be familiar with them, Ubish Moiseam, and with their names. Kiho Dahu Bar Marova, there was this person that came from the west, from Eretz Yisrael. Ikle LeBovel, he was visiting in Bovel. Hava Bistra Bade, he was eating some meat with his hosts. Omar Luhu. So this person from Eretz Yisrael said to his host, Krivu li matchilta, give me something, lelafe sesopas, something that I can dip the bread in, some appetizer. Shoma, so this person from Eretz Yisrael heard his host saying to the people in the home, the Ka'omri, that said, Krivu li kutach, bring me some kutach. And straight away this person from Eretz Yisrael that was familiar with this Mishnah knew, just a minute, kutach, there's two very important details in kutach we have to remember. Number one, it's chometz. Number two, it's milky. And you just heard the word kutach and you realize straight away, kutach, that's milky. Kiven de shoma kutach, pirush. He realized he was in a meaty meal and he realized that they're about to give him a dip that was milky, and he was pirush. He moved away. He didn't touch the kutach. Emil Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.